Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten.
And that's the Nick DiGiulio Show continues on a late Wednesday, early Thursday morning show here. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. I'm your host, Nick DiGiulio. Tom Hush is my producer. Our phone number and text number, lines and texts are open right now. We would love to hear from you. You can call us or you can text us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That, of course, was from Life of Brian, the classic Monty Python movie. Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, written by Eric Idle. And the film starred the Python group, including Terry Jones, who also directed. Terry Jones passed away, and it's a big loss, a huge loss. And Terry Jones, who earned a spot in comedic lore as a member of the British troupe Monty Python and also had success as a director, screenwriter, and author, died on Tuesday night in his home in the Highgate neighborhood of North London. He was 77. His ex-wife, Alison Telfer, confirmed the death. Mr. Jones announced in 2016 that he had primary progressive aphasia, which is a neurological disease that impairs the ability to communicate. Suffered from dementia, a rare form of dementia, and that's what took him. Mr. Jones, four other Britons, Michael Palin, Eric Idle, John Cleese, and Graham Chapman, and an American, Terry Gilliam, formed Monty Python in 1969. Their television sketch show, Monty Python's Flying Circus, became a phenomenon, first in Britain and then in the United States when it was rebroadcast there in the mid-70s. The show worked a surreal brand of humor and was markedly different than most television fare. It led to, and now for something completely different, a 1971 movie that was essentially a collection of skits from the TV show and then several other feature films. Mr. Jones and Mr. Gilliam jointly directed the first film after Something Completely Different, and that's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. They teamed up again, Monty Python's Meaning of Life. Mr. Jones was the sole director of Monty Python's Life of Brian, the most successful financially. He also directed his own projects. He was an author, both of scholarly fare like Chaucer's Knight, which is an alternative view of a character from the Canterbury Tales of the books for, and the books for children. The Boston Globe once called him a warped Renaissance man. He was a Renaissance man of sorts on Monty Python's Flying Circus as well. The many characters he played included an organist who tended to not wear clothes, a fellow known as the Amazing Mystico, who could build buildings by hypnosis, and an assortment of middle-aged women. The popularity of the show soon made Python-esque an entry in the Oxford English Dictionary. The one thing we all agreed on, our chief aim was to be totally unpredictable and never to repeat ourselves, Mr. Jones deadpanned to the New York Times in 2009 when the group had a rare reunion at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York. We wanted to be unquantifiable. That's Python-esque, and it's now an adjective in the OED, and it means we failed utterly. So, do you have a favorite Terry Jones sketch?
I would say I consistently laugh really, really hard at Arthur Two Sheds Jackson.
Yeah.
One of the strangest sketches, I think, just in concept, where Eric Idle is a television presenter and he is interviewing Terry Jones, who is Arthur Jackson, a composer, and it's an arts program. They're supposed to be talking about this guy's music, but it veers off into this strange conversation about whether or not Arthur has two sheds and why his friends call him Arthur Two Sheds Jackson. And it leads to John Cleese coming out and him and Eric Idol kicking Terry off the stage and telling him to get his own arts program.
That's brilliant. I mean, the thing that was just genius about Python is that there were no rules, man. There was nothing like it. You know, it pretty much changed everything. And I vividly remember the first time I watched it. I was about 9 years old. I can't remember the exact show I was watching. It may have been like Welcome Back, Cotter, or it may have been something, you know, dumber. But I was watching a sitcom on TV, and my dad was in the room with me, and I was laughing at this thing, which was inane, stupid, early 70s, you know, sitcom. And I'm laughing at it. And my dad's just kind of sitting on the couch, kind of shaking his head. And he goes, listen, Sunday night, you're going to stay up late till 10:30, and we're going to watch this show called Monty Python's Flying Circus on Channel 11, because you're laughing at this. I mean, why are you, you know, my dad was like, what are you doing? Why are you laughing at this? And then that next Sunday, I watched Python and everything changed. Everything changed. I was like, my outlook on comedy completely changed. And this was like right before SNL premiered. It was like right around the time when SNL premiered. So like those were big moments when I was a kid. Those two things, like getting turned on to Python and then SNL premiering. That's it. That formed my comedy, right? That's it. You know, I got turned on to Richard Pryor right around the same time. So it was, you know. So Terry Jones was hilarious. There's just no question about it. And he was also a terrific director. The best Python movie, in my opinion, is Life of Brian. And Terry Jones directed that one on his own. He's also hilarious in it as Brian's mom, as Brian's mother. Just, I mean, hilarious. And there are, you know, so many, you know, quotes. And so many Python fans are hardcore. Like, Python fans, like, take it really seriously. You know what I mean? Like, those are fans that... And then there's some of them get a little overboard. Like, I remember I had to leave a screening, Tom, I had to leave a screening of Holy Grail at the Bruin View. You know, and Bruin View, great place to see, you know, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. The place was packed. Everybody was drinking. But they would not shut up. Like, the crowd would not shut up. They would say every line. And I'd be like, look, let the guys on the screen say. I mean, I realize that people have memorized that movie. I am one of them. Like, I pretty much know every line of Holy Grail. But I don't do a bad English accent and talk along with it. You know what I mean? And I'm in a room with like 200 people who are drunk using bad English accents and talking along with Monty Python. I had to leave. I left about a half an hour into the movie. I was like, okay, I can't do this. So, but... Terry Jones will be remembered by delivering some of the best and most beloved quoted lines in comedy, British comedy history. The Monty Python star directed three of the franchise's celebrated feature films and was the recipient of a host of theater accolades. The announcement of his death at the age of 77 prompted an outpouring of tributes, including from his friend and colleague Michael Palin. Palin said he was far more than one of the funniest writer-performers of his generation. He was a complete Renaissance comedian, most wonderful company that you could wish to have. So we have some moments here that we're going to play. Some great scenes from the movies and from the sketches of Monty Python. And we would love to hear from you. Terry Jones, 77, from founding member of Monty Python and great director and writer. 312-981-7200 is phone and text. And we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. The Nick DiGilio Show continues with a tribute to Terry Jones here on WGN.
£90,000 in my pajamas. I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I've got lots of lovely lira now. The Deutsche Mark's getting dearer, and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge.
There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's
Nick DiGilio, continuing here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio here on Wednesday night, late into Thursday morning, here till 4 a.m. We're going to be talking about, as we segue from a tribute here to Terry Jones, who from Monty Python, who passed away. We're going to talk about the best British comedy films, and that's coming up as well. And we would love to hear from you, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And it's Nick DiGilio Show. Tom Hush is my producer, and paying tribute and talking about the great Terry Jones from Monty Python. And the phone lines and the text lines are open, 312-981-7200. 608 sends a text that just says, Holy Grail, brilliant. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. 615, on Python's Facebook page, they wrote, two down, four to go. I can't wait to hear the eulogy. I grew up on Monty Python. Losing one is like losing another family member. It's kind of weird, but it is. You know, I mean, I know I never knew the guy. But the impact that he made, you know, on my sense of humor and on my life, and the amount of laughter that he provided over the years is massive. 815 says, I loved watching Monty Python. A few of the skits I loved were The Dead Parrot, Naked Man at the Organ, then Lumberjack Song. He will be sadly missed. Thank you for having this part on your show tonight. Steve says, forgive me for going slightly off topic, but my absolute favorite post-Flying Circus project is Fawlty Towers with John Cleese. Only 12 episodes, but every single one is brilliant and memorable. Thanks. Yeah, Fawlty Towers is just, I mean, it's, there's no, it's the best sitcom ever, if you want to call it a sitcom, and it certainly is a sitcom. And you're right, there were only 12 episodes. Every single one of them is great. And Cleese is just unbelievably, everybody is hilarious on that show. But yeah, I agree. The you know, one of my favorite things post Python besides the movies is Fawlty Towers. Like every episode is perfect. It's just when I'm telling you, man, every single time that I watch the episodes, and I've seen Fawlty Tower. I've seen every episode of Fawlty Towers like 6,000 times. When he goes to get the duck from the other restaurant, because the chef is drunk because he's in love with Manuel, and the car stalls, and he starts screaming at the car, and then runs off screen, runs off camera, and comes back with a giant tree branch and starts beating the hell out of his car with a tree branch, with a giant tree branch. It kills me every single time. I've seen it 9,000 times. Every time he comes back into frame with that tree and starts smacking the car, I can't stand it. And that's just one of a million hilarious things that happen in Fawlty Towers. But yeah, so that was a brilliant thing. And you know, Terry Jones was meticulous in his comedy. That was one of the things about him that made him so special. He was a brilliant guy, and you could just tell by the characters that he played and his approach to comedy. Let's hear a little bit of Terry Jones. What are we going to play? What do you want to play first there, Tom?
Well, let's play a little bit of that Two Sheds Jackson, because I think that's from one of the earliest episodes of Flying Circus. It's one of the first sketches that they did, so we'll do a little bit of that right here.
Just sidetrack you for one moment, Mr. Jackson. This, what shall I call it, nickname of yours?
Oh, yes.
Two Sheds.
Yes.
How did you come by it?
Well, I don't use it myself. It's just a few of my friends call me Two Sheds.
I see. And do you, in fact, have two sheds?
No, I've only one shed. I've had one for some time. But a few years ago, I said I was thinking of getting another one, and since then, some people have called me Two Sheds.
In spite of the fact that you have only one?
Yes.
I see. And are you thinking of purchasing a second shed?
No.
To bring you in line with your epithet?
No.
I see. Well, let's return to your symphony. Now then, did you write this symphony in the shed?
No.
Have you written any of your recent works in this shed of yours?
No, it's just a perfectly ordinary garden shed.
I see. And you're thinking of buying the second shed to write in?
No, look, this shed business, it doesn't really matter at all. The sheds aren't important. It's just a few friends call me Two Sheds, and that's all there is to it.
I expect you're probably thinking of selling one.
Oh, we'll sell one of them.
Then you'd be Arthur No Sheds Jackson.
Look, forget about the sheds. They don't matter.
Mr. Jackson, I think with respect we ought to talk about your symphony.
Are you having any trouble from him?
Yes, a little.
Well, we interviewers are more than a match for the likes of you, Two Sheds.
Yes, make yourself scarce, Two Sheds. This studio isn't big enough for the three of us.
Get your own arts program, you fairy.
Oh God, that's funny. That's so funny. Those guys were so brilliant. They're so brilliant. Here's Rick on WGN. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, man? You got me rolling here on the other end.
Oh,
man.
It's hilarious.
I'm just busted up.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Which leads me to the one thing that I always remember. Because I graduated high school in 1979, right?
Yeah.
So that'll date me a little bit there. And we were so far into it that the first thing we would talk about every morning when I'd get to high school, we'd have a certain group that, you know, would sit together before the bell rung and everything, and we would be discussing whatever show was on that night, you know, the night before or whatever, and just rolling, you know, dying, laughing and everything. But I was telling the funny thing, as soon as you started talking about this, I was cracking up because I remember Terry Jones He opened up a lot of the programs as the naked guy
right.
sitting in front of the keyboard,
right.
And he would lay into that thing or whatever, and you know, play a little jingle there or whatever, and then they would break into the show. But it was just so hilarious. But I don't know about you, but the thing that used to crack me up was the number of people that would just didn't get it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
they would watch the program, and you know, of course, you just had to be, you know, you had to have a good sense of humor.
Well,
and,
you know, my mom didn't get it when my father and I would watch the show, and we would laugh our butts off. My mom would kind of sit there and shake her head, going, "What are you guys laughing at?" And it's a very specific sense of humor, Python, and Terry Jones was one of the great ones in that. So, Rick, thanks for the call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, man, take care. Now, when you were had to be, you know, your dad was probably a massive Python fan, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, because he was, so he's probably about like a significant portion older than yourself. He was born in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got hip to Python, he was really in the young adult.
Yeah.
He had a wife and two kids.
Yeah.
And he was just in this phase of catching the weirdness of the 70s and everything. And Monty Python putting its stamp on that.
Yeah.
And in Britain, it was as countercultural as comedy could get.
Yeah.
And I mean, Britain always has had a rich history of very strange comedy.
Yeah.
And that likes to push boundaries. But Monty Python is probably the most accepted example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And British comedy, and frankly, comedy in general, all around the world, owes a lot to these guys pushing the envelope of what could be considered funny.
Yeah.
And breaking down these kind of classical ideas of funny.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, it was kind of typical stuff. You know, your standard kind of like Father Knows Best style sitcoms, which are great. And
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with, you know, classical comedies like Dick Van Dyke or anything like that. But in Britain, having this group of overly educated guys just smearing any sort of convention
right.
across the wall
yeah.
was unheard of.
Yeah.
And I think it captured a very specific generation of people and continues to this day.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, the Nick DiGilio Show here continuing. Tom Hush is the producer, and we're talking about Terry Jones. Terry Jones passed away, one of the founding members of Monty Python. He was 77, so we're remembering Terry Jones. And if you have any Python memories or Terry Jones thoughts, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 704 sends a text that says, "I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay." 847 says, "The parrot on the telly was classic." Yes, it was. Hilarious. 262 says, "At Space in Evanston this evening, androgynous mustache dedicated nighttime in the switching yard to Terry Jones and Neil Peart."
Good job, guys.
Good job.
I got in huge trouble when I was in the Boy Scouts for singing the Lumberjack song.
Uh-oh.
Because we had like a little talent competition at one point. I went out there. And I grabbed a few guys, and we did the Lumberjack song.
Oh.
They were not super impressed
when I
started putting on
the dresses
drag
and
everything.
Yeah. That's classic stuff, the Lumberjack song. So he's, you know, Python, you know, was very, you know, they were inspiring to so many people. And we've got some more Python stuff that we want to play that involves Terry Jones. And I watched the show, I watched it every Sunday night, and I just, you know, it was one of those shows that I've seen every episode a bunch of times, and it never gets tired. It's always funny. And Terry Jones was one of the main reasons why the show was funny. They're all great guys. And yeah. So we want to hear some more audio here. Tom, can we play some? Tom's answering the phone right now, but can you play something? Play a little more audio here. What do we got? What other Terry Jones stuff do we got here?
Let's hop on over to one of the other Flying Circus memorable sketches. I think it's worth saying that not every sketch landed the same way that the most popular ones did.
Yeah.
But the ones that landed are ingrained in comedic lore forever. So here's a little bit of the Spam sketch.
Of course.
Morning.
Morning.
What you got then?
Well, there's egg and bacon, egg, sausage and bacon, egg and Spam. Egg, bacon, and Spam. Egg, bacon, sausage, and Spam. Spam, bacon, sausage, and Spam. Spam, egg, Spam, Spam, bacon, and Spam. Spam, 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 egg, and Spam. Spam, 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 baked beans, Spam, 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 and Spam. Oh, lobster thermidor and crevettes with mayonnaise sauce, garnished with truffle pate brandy, and a fried egg on top, and Spam. Have you got anything without Spam in it? Well, Spam, egg, sausage and Spam. It's not got much Spam in it. I don't want any Spam. What do you mean? I don't like Spam.
Spam, 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 Spam. It's got to be Spam. One of the Spam. Spam, 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 Spam.
Just for some reason, there's Vikings.
Yeah, singing about Spam.
Singing Spam.
And Terry Jones was remarkably good at playing he always played the crotchety old woman.
Yes, he did.
So well.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly funny every time. Never got tiring.
Never got. I love the fact that they did drag. And then that influenced Kids in the Hall, because Kids in the Hall would do that too, and play the female characters. And clearly, Kids in the Hall was inspired massively by Python. There's no question about it. All right, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. The Nick DiGilio Show continues. We have some lines open if you want to jump in and you want to throw a text our way. You can. It's 312-981-7200. We're remembering Terry Jones, who passed away, and listening to some of the best Python moments. 312-981-7200. The Nick DiGilio Show continues right here on WGN.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night, I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I eat my lunch, I go to the lavatory. On Wednesdays I go shopping and have buttered scones for tea.
He cuts down trees, he eats his lunch, he goes to the lavatory. On Wednesdays we go shopping and have buttered scones for tea. He's a lumberjack and he's okay.
The lumberjack song. Everybody loves the lumberjack song. Nick DiGilio Show continues right here on 720 WGN. Tom Hush is the producer, and I am your host, Nick DiGilio. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Terry Jones passed away. That's what we're talking about. We're remembering Terry Jones and talking about Python and some of the more memorable Python moments. This was a big one for me, a big sad death. And here's Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I was telling your call screener about the one time when the show started off. He was behind the piano.
Right.
And it was like an English setting, and all these people were dressed up in white tennis uniforms and stuff. And this guy comes up, and he goes, "Anyone for tennis?" And he hits the ball. And the guy hits the ball, goes through this one guy's chest. He starts bleeding, grabs on this guy's arm, rips this guy's arm off. He falls on the piano, and he runs up with his fingers. All his fingers are cut off, and it just turned into a total bloodbath.
Right.
It was the most funniest thing I ever saw in
my
life.
The setup for that was that was directed by Sam Peckinpah. That was the whole setup, was Peckinpah directed it. And that's why there was so much violence. That's why the blood was shooting out all over the place and everything. That's actually one of my favorite sketches too, Rich. One of my very favorite.
Yeah, I was like 11 years old, man. Yeah. My brother turned me onto it, and it was so cool. It was unbelievable.
Great stuff. All right, Rich, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, remember that sketch, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it follows the most basic premise of Monty Python sketches. Like, if you want to study Monty Python, it's always the setup.
Yeah.
And then the turn. It always goes somewhere completely out of left field. Even that lumberjack sketch.
Right.
Starts out, he's a barber.
Right.
And he can't cut hair, and he says, "Oh no, what can I do? I've always wanted to be a lumberjack."
Right.
And it just goes into a musical moment, and it snapped people's brain stems.
Yeah. Yeah. Here is Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
I wanted to tell you a story. Back in college, I had a speech class, and the teacher was trying to explain inflection and intonation,
mm-hmm.
and people weren't getting it. And I said, well, okay, here's this. If you say, but I don't like spam, it's not funny. But the minute you say, but I don't like spam, that's funny.
Yeah, no, that's a good... That's true, Mike. That's true. That was a pretty good impression right there. 312-981-7200. I also want to mention, we can't, not talk about... By the way, Mike, thanks for the call. We have to mention Mr. Creosote from Meaning of Life. I think Harold is going to wanted to talk about that. Harold, go ahead.
Better. Better?
Yeah, go ahead, Harold.
Better get a bucket.
Yeah, better get a bucket.
Better get a bucket.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Creosote.
Yeah, that's my dad. I've mentioned this on the air before. That's the hardest I've ever seen my dad laugh was during the Mr. Creosote scene in Meaning of Life. Let's hear a little of it.
Ah, good afternoon, sir, and how are we today?
Better.
Better?
Better get a bucket. I'm going to throw up.
Gaston, a bucket for monsieur. Merci, Gaston.
I haven't finished.
Oh, pardon, Gaston. 1,000 pardons, monsieur. Now, this afternoon, we have monsieur's favorite, the jugged hare. The hare is very high, and the sauce is very rich, with truffles, anchovies, Grand Marnier, bacon, and cream. Thank you, Gaston.
There's still more.
Et maintenant, would monsieur care for an aperitif, or would he prefer to order straight away? Today, we have for appetizers, excuse me.
That's on the menu, just right on the menu.
Moule marinière, pâté de foie gras, beluga caviar, eggs benedictine, tarte de poireau, that's leek tart, frog's legs amandine, or Oeftekai Richard Shepherd. C'est-à-dire little quail's eggs and a bed of pureed mushroom. It's very delicate, very subtle.
I'll have the lot.
A wise choice, monsieur. And now, how would you like it served? All mixed up together in a bucket?
Yeah, with the eggs on top.
But of course, avec des œufs frites.
Yeah, don't skip on the pâté.
Oh, monsieur, I assure you, just because it is mixed up with all the other things, we would not dream of giving you less than the full amount. In fact, I will personally make sure you have a double helping. Maintenant, quelque chose à boire, something to drink, monsieur.
Yeah, I'll have 6 bottles of Chateau Latour 45. And a double Jeroboam of champagne.
Bon, and the usual brown ales?
Yeah. No, wait a minute, I think I could only manage 6 crates today.
I hope monsieur was not overdoing it last night.
Shut up!
D'accord. the new bucket and the cleaning woman.
My dad, I'm telling you, we had a VHS copy of Meaning of Life. He would rewind that scene over and over and over again. I have a Mr. Creosote t-shirt with Terry's profile on it. Brian from Savannah says the bishop used to kill my grandfather and me. The bishop, classic. 708, how did he meet the other members of Monty Python being the only American? Well, no, Terry Gilliam is the American.
I believe he's Welsh.
Yeah.
I think by
no, yeah, no, Terry Jones is Welsh.
Terry Jones
he
is
was Welsh.
Welsh. Yeah. But it is, I think Terry Gilliam was just in and around Britain just doing his thing.
Yeah.
And they just all happened to meet each other. And, I mean, it's kind of luck. I remember when I found out Terry Gilliam was American. I was like, you could have fooled me.
Yeah, I didn't know he was American for a while.
I think he's from Minnesota. Like,
yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, he's a Midwestern boy. Yeah.
847 says, the late Douglas Adams was working on a sci-fi novel called Starship Titanic and was also contractually obligated to work on a corresponding video game. Unable to meet the dates for both projects, he asked Terry Jones to write the book. According to the foreword, Joe's answer was, only if I can write it in the nude.
He did have a particular persuasion of being in the nude.
He did, didn't he? I mean, like every episode, he was basically naked at some point. 847 says, loved Monty Python. So very funny. Weren't they on PBS by the Two Ronnies back in the 70s? Yeah, Two Ronnies were on the same night. There's a lot of British stuff. Dave Allen at Large was on. Made for an entertaining evening. Appreciate how you include your producer's name throughout the show. Other hosts fail to acknowledge. Oh, that's Tom Hush. He's my producer.
Hello.
It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. The show continues, and we're talking about Terry Jones. Do we have any other audio for Terry?
Well, yeah. I mean, we cannot fail to include a couple of his most amazing turns in the Holy Grail.
Yeah, Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
I think he plays... what was it? It's Guinevere. No, not Lady Guinevere. He plays one of the Knights of the Round Table.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the most famous scene from that is when they decide to weigh the witch.
Yeah.
Who do you know she is a witch?
She looks like one.
Bring her forward.
I'm not a witch. I'm not a witch.
But you are dressed as one.
They dressed me up like this. And this isn't my nose. It's a false one.
Will?
Well, we did do the nose.
The nose?
And the hat. But she's a witch.
There are ways of telling whether she is a witch.
Are there? Huh? Well, they tell us.
Tell me, what do you do with witches? And what do you burn apart from witches?
All witches!
Wood. So, why do witches burn? Because they're made of wood. Good.
Oh, yeah.
So, how do we tell whether she is made of wood?
Build a bridge out of her.
Ah, but can you not also make bridges out of stone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Right, remove the supports.
Yeah. She's a witch. That's classic. All right. Rest in peace, Terry Jones. The news is coming up here after this on 720 WGN as the Nick DiGilio Show continues.